Welcome to the Survival Prepper Show, where being labeled a crazy prepper is a badge of honor. Learn about disaster preparedness, survival, and get ready for whatever challenges might come your way. This is not your typical prepping podcast, and they won't be silenced by the censors. Here are your hosts, Duff and Dale.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show. Tonight, we've got quite a few things to talk about, a few different stories that are in the news right now. Plus, I wanted to kind of talk about how the future of prepping, basically. And I know it sounds a little bit doomy and, you know, one of those things that people say, but it's like, is there a point where prepping does become illegal? And I want to discuss that. Maybe not the you know, the prepping itself, but the things that we do. So all of that should be very cool tonight. Brandon in the chat said he's got worse internet than Dale tonight. So don't jinx me, Brandon. Everything's going good right now, man. Ugh. Yeah.
Knock on some wood right there, dude. Hey, knock on your head. You gotta hit wood.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding, yeah. Before we get into the show, though, I've been working on something the last couple of days, and I want to get everyone's thoughts on it, and Brian's too. I purposely haven't shown this to Brian, but working on a new design. And just in the chat, just type yes or no. You don't have to go into any detail or anything, but I'm working on a design, and I want everyone's thoughts. And this is kind of a grungy style gas mask dude that I'm working on. And this is just the initial, part of the whole design that I'm working on. I may use this for like this, the full style shirt, maybe on a sleeve or put something around this. What do you think, Brian, of something like that? I know you're kind of critical a lot of the time. So,
so I think a lot of people were like, will like that shirt. Like a lot of prepper people will like it. Like, you know, when you go, if you go to a prepper convention or.
That's kind camp, of my thought process.
A bunch of people hanging out or like some prepper get together somewhere. I think you'd see people wearing that all day long. I would never wear the thing.
Yeah. It's not your style. Yeah.
But
what if I put a,
but I think it's a, I think it's a really good shirt though. I think it looks really cool. And I think I kind of like it just as it is. It's one of those things that when you look at it, I don't think, like, for us as preppers, as soon as we see it, like, we know what it is. But I bet if you took it and came up like with some catchy prepper term, like some Teotwaki, right? Like a band, make it into a band t-shirt. Like it's a you know, like a tour t-shirt for some sort of like crazy metal band or something. You know, so some metal militia kind of thing. I think like that would be, it would look like a rock shirt, and then the people who knew would know.
I throw a mullet on him. Yeah, no. But I might do a few different things, and just watch out too, because I may take that, just that skull and the face mask, because it's a bunch of different images that I put them all together, and I may incorporate that into maybe some sort of new logo for us or something like that. So just wait and
I think it has a lot of potential, man.
Yeah. Potential. Well, it's not going to be exactly like that, but it'll be something similar. Plus I like your ideas, like conspiracy, not conspiracy theorist, conspiracy realist or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at any rate,
have the conspiracy in the chat, crossed liberated. Out.
What's that?
To have this conspiracy crossed out, you know?
Yeah, conspiracy theory crossed out and then realist. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right there. What might be a good shirt idea. Yeah. At any rate, just wanted to get everyone's thoughts on that, because something that I've been working on, I think it's pretty cool. I would wear something like that, but I wear stuff like that. Maybe if I put a pot leaf on it, Brian, you'd wear it, right? No.
What's that? Depending on what state I am, I'm in at the time. Why poke the bear when you're in some, you know, another state that where it's not good? It's just not even, you get pulled over, cop walks up, you weren't, you know, like that's just not cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Mary said in the chat, conspiracy truth. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of different things you get, you know, I'm all my conspiracy theories have come true, so I'm running out. I've seen shirts like that and stuff. So, at any rate, I do want to get into some of this stuff today. I saw the other day on Twitter, and it's from Zero Hedge, and I wanted to kind of talk about this real quick. And I don't know how much you know about or how often this stuff is going on, but they've shown proof of a couple gun shops that have disallowed somebody buying a firearm. And in here, it's got the picture of the transaction and what the transaction
says.
Well,
the gun shops didn't disallow it, right? It was
the POS,
the unit. Credit card, the credit card company that declined the transaction.
Yeah. And this is just a couple of them. In this article, they talk about this, this 3D Print Freedom, Battlecock Tactical's tweet is who it is. And they talk about a couple of them. And there's a lot of people that have said that the same type of thing is happening. So hey,
what was that user's name? Say it again.
Battlecock Tactical. Hey, I didn't make it up.
No, I want to see it so I can follow it on Twitter.
Oh, I thought you were going to start giving me shit for like some.
Oh, no. So it's at the Battlecock. On Twitter. Cool.
Cause that one down there. Yeah. We'll just go with that. But at any rate, I've seen, and there's a couple forums cause I looked into this a little bit and see how often it's happening because you just never know. But you know, they're showing proof right there with the images that these transactions are getting declined because the banks aren't allowing that. And this was a big deal when they started a few months ago when we talked about this, when they were starting the whole coding system. And now that they're coded, you've got these banks that are disallowing it. My thought on this is how many, or is it going to be enough people that basically, because if it happened to me, that'd be the last day I use that bank. Is there going to be enough people to kind of stop this crap, or do they even care?
It'll depend, man. I think it depends on exactly that. How does it impact their bottom line? I mean, we know that the woke companies aren't woke because that they really believe necessarily always in wokeness. And even if they do, what's the bottom line with those companies? Money. Like that drives it all.
Yeah.
You know, you see some of these companies now that have, you know, a lot of woke people in there, right? You know, a lot of the virtue signaling crowd, you know, the people, you know, sit around and bust your chops because you're, you know, having a cow for lunch or something like that, but they're eating tuna. You know, somehow it's okay to kill a fish, not okay to kill a cow.
Yeah. Fish but don't fart.
Anyhow, I think if it starts costing them money, then you're going to see things change, right? But right now, and here's where they can justify it. And I'm not saying it's justified, but this is what they're going to say. Is I imagine that somewhere by authorizing gun purchases, that somehow will impact a company's ESG score.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, hey, it's not our fault, but if we don't do this, then we suffer because of that. Like it gives them a rationalization. It's kind of like they came up with modern monetary in 2008. And then the next thing you know, oh yeah, we can just print as much money. It's literally a theory that justified for them to print as much money as they want.
Yeah.
And doesn't matter what happens to society because the theory says it's okay for them to do it. So I think this all goes back to they're going to plant the flag in ESG kind of stuff. Said, no, we're going to, if it ever, you know, if they start having to defend it.
Yeah.
The problem they're going to have is you have six. Some of them aren't that conservative and they float back and forth. Right. And we've seen most of the Supreme Court justices surprise everybody once or twice, but you have a largely conservative court when it comes to the Supreme Court. And they've been ruling fairly well for gun rights stuff. So we'll see how that comes. The other side of it though, is it's going to bifurcate society even more.
Yeah.
Right. Because there's going to be somebody to realize like, oh, I could make money doing this, you know, if they can afford the attorneys to defend themselves against all the lawsuits they're going to have from the left trying to shut them down.
Yeah.
That comes attacks. In and funds. Hey, we're going to be our own bank and we'll fund your firearm purchases. Yeah. I mean, it's a big industry. Right. And the more crazy this goes, the more people are buying guns.
Yeah, yeah, and they do too. And it isn't just conservatives either. So, we were talking before the show a little bit about this, and you were talking about how Elon Musk maybe has plans of, or it's a possibility that he could turn that into some sort of payment processor or something like that. And I think if somebody were to do something like that, they better get ready to get treated just like Elon Musk is. So why not him?
Well, Elon Musk is a founder of PayPal, right? Like, yeah. He's one of the early dudes.
That's how
PayPal.
He made his money.
Yeah, he knows how to, I mean, he knows how to do this stuff. So, you know, again, like here he can come and poke another stick in their eye right now.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. if he were to go down that road, I don't know if he can, and I don't know that the guy's going to live. I mean, that guy, talk about anybody that's begging to get Clinton'd.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, man, I hope that he doesn't go to like a New York prison anytime soon or jail for anything anytime soon. Camera might be not be working.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. Angelo's here in the chat. What's up, Angelo? He said up, parallel Angelo? Economy. And I think that that's kind of where it all sort of leads, because people are going to, I mean, with me, it's almost a, if I were, or when I do make my next purchase, it's probably going to be in cash. I'm not using a card. I'm not using any sort of traceable thing, but
you don't even know if your card's going to work. That's the problem. You don't know if your card's going to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like how many cards do you have to go through? Maybe you see a lot more use of local credit unions, right? But then again, who backs them? I mean, are you surprised? When they came out with this, we're going to start tracking your credit card purchases. It's like everybody was worried. This is how they do a registry. No, man, this is how they shut you off from being able to buy firearms.
Yeah. Bypassing the Constitution. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm not surprised.
You can still buy them. You can still buy them.
Yeah.
But what else have they shut down? Right. And I don't, you know, I have no problem. Even though it's a constitutional right, I don't have any problem doing a background check on me. As long as the black background check is like, hey, have you been an asshole in your life and done terrible things? You know? And even then, I mean, you can make the argument for when a felon gets completely off parole and all that. We always say, hey, you've done your time, but you can't ever own a firearm again. Okay. And I get it. Violent felons. I mean, you could have that debate, but I mean, I don't know, man. I think it's going to be interesting to see what comes of this.
Yeah. And that's kind of my whole thing with this and where I was kind of leading with this whole subject, because it is that just whittling away at things. And if you can't get it done because of that pesky Constitution, then you get the private companies to kind of do, you know, basically that's what the government does all the damn time. They just try to get the private companies to do their bidding for them. And it's working like a charm more than ever these days.
Social media and that follows on to the whole background check thing, right? The straw purchases. They've shut that down where, like, you know, I mean, it's impossible. It's next to impossible in some areas for, and with some of the laws they're trying to put in, for you know, a family member to buy a firearm for another family member, because straw purchase kind of stuff, right? You know, and so I mean, now PayPal, every transaction, all these different things, every transaction over $600, if you Venmo somebody some cash, like a family member, so they can get the cash to buy one, they may not know it was purchased on a firearm, but you're going to get taxed on that $600 now.
Yeah, you sell a couch, they want their cut.
Yeah. So yeah, they're getting you every which way. So which I think again opens it up to what Angela's saying is a parallel economy, because they're shutting it all down, and it opens it up to what's going to drive them crazy, into cash purchase. But don't forget what's coming right around the corner: the digital dollar. That thing's coming hard and fast.
Yeah.
My understanding is they're already kind of testing out on limited areas, right? And as soon as they do that, then they'll we don't need to print cash anymore because we have the digital dollar. Turn all your cash in. Right. Cash is now defunct.
Yeah.
Like how much longer down the road does that come?
Yeah. Hey, Vision's in the chat. What's up, Vision? He said, I no longer use my card for 2A purchases. It's none of their business. And that's exactly what I was saying. And absolutely. And almost any prepping large, you know, maybe you're buying some long-term food, a large quantity of long-term food, anything like that. You know, try to use cash as much as possible. And what you're talking about with the digital coin, coming, and that eventually will be here. Who knows how long that takes or how short it is, but they're testing the waters right now, and eventually cash is, they're just not going to print anymore, and it's eventually going to go away. But then you've got the, you know, the crypto, the Bitcoin, basically, which could be that, you know, that alternate economy. I think gun stores, maybe it would be a good idea for all of them, the FFLs, to start thinking about taking crypto.
Well, the problem that you run in, though, I mean, think about everything that they're doing right now. That Sam Bankman-Fried is still a free person. Like,
yeah,
he's still down there living the life of Riley. I mean, they literally have him on their TV shows now doing interviews with him. Like, he was on one show. I don't remember what show it was, but it was a big show, like a, you know, televised kind of show. And like the whole crowd, and he did it remote. But when they brought him on, everybody applauded.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Right? And so, but at the same time, what do you hear? We need to rein in crypto. They're trying to rein in non-government crypto. Right? And so everything, but again, remember, and everything but Bitcoin is kind of like the people sort of make it up. A lot of it's bait. They say, hey, we've bought X amount of Bitcoin. So as Bitcoin goes up and down, their fund goes up and down. And then as they make the fund makes profits and stuff, they invest a little bit here in other banks. But those are all potential FTXs in a lot of ways, in my belief. Yeah. And I know a lot of people shit on Bitcoin. The difference being for the Bitcoin are all tracked. There's only a finite amount that they have on the internet. And it drives the governments crazy because as long as everybody places value in it, which think about this, if they go to a digital dollar and you can't, and there's no more cash, it's a cashless society or a barter society, Bitcoin becomes really valuable because they can't really shut that down in a lot of ways because you can do peer-to-peer encryption and all that. So, I think it's no coincidence that you're seeing the digital dollar come on when you are. Because the digital dollar, now the government knows every transaction you do for firearms. And then when they start screwing with firearms more, you know, I mean, the Fed's not a government institution. So what if the Fed says, hey, we're not allowing firearms purchases anymore?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. You know, I mean, there's so many ways that they can come at this now. It's crazy.
Yeah. And it's just, it's concerning with the way that everything is going. And guns is just one part of that whole thing. You've got the whole World Economic Forum, that whole agenda, which is taking seed, whether it's exactly from the World Economic Forum or it's just ideas that some of these governments like, all of that stuff is taking seed. And it made me think the other day, it was like, how long until, and I don't want to sound like one of these, you know, Canadian prepper or anything like that. Prepping is going to be illegal. Stock up now, that type of thing. But because I don't think prepping itself will ever be illegal, they'll just make it kind of like the guns right now where it's, you know, it's going to be frowned upon to stockpile over a certain amount of food or, you know, eventually it's not even, you know, they're going to take our idea of eating insects instead of meat and put it on steroids and everybody's going to be eating insects. But well, how long until it becomes complete prepping comes completely different than what it is now, what we think of prepping?
Well, how easy is it till you get to the point where you tell everybody, because it's a digital dollar, you tell everybody that, hey, you're only allocated this much meat next week per person. This is all you get per week. Yeah. Right. Because, and I say that because, you know, like I'm getting ready to go back out to LA and LA, as soon as you go above a certain threshold on your household water, dude, they jack your rates like crazy.
No kidding.
Right? So you're So in a way, you're being rationed water. You use too much, you suffer financial penalties. It's not like, you know, 1 gallon versus 10,000 gallons. You know, if it's a dollar, so say you're paying $1 a gallon for water. No, when you hit a certain number, and it's not a lot, it increases it by a significant amount. I don't know what that is, and I know that because last time I was out there, I'd go off and I would water some of the plants on the porch and stuff every night. And like after 2 months, my old man's like, hey, you've been watering the plants at night? And I'm like, yeah, you go
out just that shit watering off.
Plants. Yeah, it jacked his water up. So the same thing goes to how much meat you can buy. Oh, well, if you want to buy that steak, You know, so that way, Nancy, who spends $20 on a pint of ice cream, it never bothered a person like her. But how many people are struggling to get by? And it's like, oh, so what do I eat for protein those days? Well, now you're back to you're back to crickets.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many ways that all this can change in the next year, I think. And so can prepping get illegal? Sure. Hey, you're only allowed 7 days of freeze dried food.
Well, and when they, you know, when they want to buy more,
we shut that off. We charge more.
Yeah. When they put in that digital currency, that they'd be able to do exactly what you're talking about right there. They can track how much meat you're purchasing in a month and or how much food in general. And they're like, okay, you know, this is, you know, there's no way that you're a family of four, family of three, whatever it is, needs that much. So if you want more, you're going to have to pay 400 or 500 times the amount that you paid for that right there. And it could be all, not just meat, all sorts of different foods. Yeah. And that's,
well, and then now the government goes, oh, I mean, imagine this. You go off and buy, you know, you're already bad enough with your ESG score because you buy a gun. Yeah. But then, you know, you buy a rifle and you buy 200 rounds of ammo. And they're like, why would you need more than 10 rounds of ammo?
Yeah.
Or 50 for a season, you know, kind of thing. Right. And so now guess it's, oh, your ESG score gets tanked. I mean, look at the stuff they're doing in China. Which the ESG score is so hilarious. I keep asking people on Twitter every once in a while with it. And it's like, why is it called ESG? Because it's environmental, social, corporate governance, right? Because they want to make it sound so great, they don't even put the C into the whole abbreviation. And if it's an acronym, why wouldn't it go in alphabetical order? Because if it went in alphabetical order, it would be corporate governance would lead the whole thing. And they don't want that.
Yeah, they don't want,
because they don't want people to think like, oh yeah, we're that's really the goal, is to dictate the system. Like everything you can and can't do, we're going to dictate it through corporate governance.
Yeah.
Like you can't buy a firearm because of ESG, right? So, but what do they push first? They push the environment first. Then they push social. And then we just leave out corporate and go right to governance.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're here to make the environment and the society a better place. How are they going to do that? By the corporations clamping down and telling you what you can and can't do.
Yeah, by reversing that, just like you were saying, that corporate governance, how you run your business is the most important factor in how investable you are and all that. And the other two are kind of the categories that go into that as far as how investable you are. So it's a joke. Yeah. And that's probably why some of these banks are doing that as well, like you were talking about earlier, because if you want to you know, score higher on that chart, and it's getting with BlackRock basically running the world these days, it's getting harder. You have to play the game now. Hopefully,
that becomes the other part, right? So you're a prepper down the road. You know, you've bought too much freeze dried food. You know, you bought a couple of rain ponchos. You know, why do you need 5 knives and a gun? Right. So you're way down the list. Well, you go into BlackRock. Hey, I want to buy this property over here. One of these companies, one of the lending companies. Ooh, yeah, we'd really like to lend to you, but you know, you're when we total up your ESG score, it said God fearing redneck on it. And I was, you don't qualify for a loan.
Yeah, well, we can sell you a piece of property over here in this gated community. It's got FEMA written on the front. Go right in. We'll sell you a piece over there with all the rest of you yahoos.
I mean, dude, like seriously, like it, like I remember like growing up in Los, if you went out, go out in LA, unless it's like, you know, skinny camouflage jeans, something that looks like totally stupid, you know, some fashion sense kind of thing. If you go out and like you're wearing like Carhartt jacket, you know, like a Carhartt jacket, or you throw it, have a camouflage coat on, you're going to get like the looks like you're a straight up terrorist.
Yeah. Yeah. I imagine.
Right? So when I say redneck, I include all of you people out there, because that's just basically what it'll come up with. Like you're a problem. And you don't get that loan. You don't get that apartment. I mean, it's what they're doing in China. They're literally doing this stuff in China. And you know, hey, why did we do COVID lockdowns? Because China did it. Right. That's why we did them. Because Fauci took his cue off of China. And so that's why it happened.
Yeah.
Which will be interesting to see if they have that, any of that to do with in the Twitter dump that's coming out tonight. It's supposed to be about COVID. So,
yeah, I'll tell you what, all these world leaders, the World Economic Forum, I know for damn sure loves them some China. the way China runs things. And then you've got, I guarantee you, a lot of our politicians wish they could run things like the way China runs things. Canada is full steam ahead with trying to, you know, mimic the whole Chinese model. So it's, yeah, it's just concerning to me that we talk about this all the time, or we have talked about this a couple times. You think back to how things have changed from a couple decades ago to now. How are they going to change from now to a couple of decades from now? And I don't see it. I mean, other than technology is going to be kind of cool to see what they come up with next. I don't see it going anywhere good because of the amount they're just going to be able to kind of know every single move we make.
I think you're being, optimistic for 10 years. I mean, Canada's trying to do this stuff right now, right? I mean, obviously China does it, but like China's doing it to a crazy degree where they just weld you into your apartments, right? I imagine Canada, if they could have gotten away with that, would have welded a bunch of truck drivers into their apartments here, right?
Yeah.
Last year. Yeah. And they're heading down that path. But here's the thing. We're following them. We're doing the ESG stuff. Everybody's getting in line with the World Economic Forum stuff. I mean, I think the biggest kink in their plans right now literally is Elon buying Twitter.
Yeah, like, that really screwed things
up. Like, they controlled the narrative. It's like I've told people on there that, like, they go, well, they're trying to say like hate speech has gone up. And I'm like, and then they throw up some article and you go to it and it's like, it goes like maybe one link down when you're trying to find stats. And literally that paper just says, well, we have statistics. It's one of these, hey, we have an unnamed source thing again that they do, right? Not like a confirmed source, you know, just like some guy on the inside said this and we know they're making this stuff up. It's like the FBI, you know, putting the story out to the press running with it. Then the FBI using the story to go back to the court system to get fake FISA warrants, basically, right? So we know they're doing it. We're already down that path. So I think it's they're just waiting to get the tools in place. And that the biggest tool is the digital dollar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? You know, and so.
Well, there are things that some people can do as far as preparedness, because we talk about it all the time. Hey, if you can raise animals, you can do this, you can do that. And if you have the means to do that, that's probably your best bet going forward. But a majority of preppers don't have that. A majority probably live in the suburbs where maybe you can get a couple chickens if your HOA allows it and all that. But as far as raising goats or anything like that, not going to happen. What's that look for?
Well, I mean, that's the problem, right? Your HOAs. What's the HOA? HOA has to do financial stuff, right? They have to make transactions. I mean, that's the half the scam of the HOAs, right? They're running. They tell you what you do, and they make you pay for the luxury of having some freaking idiot in your yard telling you can't have a flagpole, you know, whatever. So that's the whole thing of HOAs. Well, if they have to make financial transactions, they have to have good ESG scores.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So again, and then goes back to the digital dollar. And think about this, like your kids are going to be it, like are going to suffer because of your ESG score. So what does that automatically mean? Talk about like how our society will, the haves and the have nots, right? It gets back to that whole thing of like what was happening in Germany in World War II, right? All these people ratting each other out because they all wanted to look good for the authorities, right? Because they didn't want their kids not to be able to get a job and go to school, but that's going to be part of it.
Yeah,
you know, hey, what's your parents' ESG? Oh, well, you can't go to the good school. You really can't. Hey, we got, you know, you got to go to this, whatever the case may be. So
you're one of those
there's
people.
There's so many layers and ways this is going to affect things. And getting back on time, I don't think it's going to be 2 years before they start, before they start pushing the digital dollar.
Yeah.
I mean, they're setting it up right now with going back to the Sam Bankman-Fried thing. They're all applauding this guy. They're not going after him. We know he donated, you know, millions and millions of dollars, probably a lot more to the establishment. And there's all kinds of things going on. And they're treating him like he's part of Epstein's black book. Right? They're not touching this guy. And maybe they will. And anybody that thinks that the Republicans are going to get in and go after him, come on.
Yeah.
They're going to hold a bunch of trials and, wow, we want to do this, but the Senate's going to shut us down, so we're not going to do it kind of thing. Like, dude, I don't know that it's 10 years, man. I think you're looking at a couple of years on some of this stuff, maybe.
Yeah, it's just that. it's getting people more and more dependent on the government or the government institutions and all of these things. Sort of like, you know, with the World Economic Forum, we've talked about it a couple of times, the Hunger Games aspect of it, where you live in the big city, if you follow the rules, if you play the game, if you, you know, have the right credit score, if you do the right things, you're included in the big city life and all that. If you don't, if you're one of these preppers or you're one of these, you know, patriots or whatever, you're on the outskirts and you can go out and fend for yourself on your own and not be part of the system. But life is going to be so, we're going to make sure that life is so hard for you out there that more people don't gravitate that way. More people gravitate towards the big city and the dependency on the government. And that's exactly where all this stuff is going globally too, not just in the United States. It's globally.
It's the Hunger Games.
It is. Yeah. It's going to turn into that.
Like literally, I mean, like you don't get anything because you're that person that has to work out that, you know, and if it comes down to it, like, you know, how many people live out in the country, how long could they sustain it? They can force you into doing stuff merely by literally the Hunger Games. Like you're trying to feed your family. And the only way you're feeding your family is by going off and working in the salt mines or some shit somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, again, it gets back to the Second Amendment, which is why they want to put the crush on that so much. It's their big problem. Again, I think we're in a race against technology. The minute San Francisco just tried to put drones in to follow on Dallas to be able to go use drones in its policing duties.
To kill people. Yeah.
Right. Well, how far away are we from like, oh, you know what? We just need to, you know, you're not allowed to leave your house or your property if you have a bad ESG score. Or, hey, we need, you know, all those bad ESG people, we need to do something about them. And yeah. At that point, your firearms don't matter anymore.
Yeah, your drones
don't. They don't give. They don't care. Like, okay, what are you going to keep doing to the drones?
Yeah, yeah. It'll be interesting. Yeah, I don't know what the time frame is. It will be interesting though to look back in 10 years and kind of like with cell phones, right? You don't pay attention too much when the cell phones first came out. Then there's this little brick, and then all of a sudden we've got these computers in our pockets, and you look back and you think that it's been 50 years. Everybody's had a cell phone, and it's only been like 15-20 years. Since the cell phone, and I'm not talking the big car phone brick from the 80s or anything. I'm talking like the Nokias, the little phone. So you look back and it's that death by a thousand cuts type thing. And you look back and go, you know, they used to be able to do that in the United States. They used to be able to do this. That's crazy.
Well, and think about it. Like what's your response to being able to, like one way you can help back a bunch of that stuff off you is to unplug a bit, right? Like don't carry your cell phone on you all the time.
Yeah.
And then though, if you don't have your cell phone in China, you don't have your smartphone, so they can show your green, like you're good to go on your COVID, you're good to go on your ESG score, you can't get anywhere and can't get into anything.
Yeah.
So they force you to carry it, to have to carry it.
Next step's the chip embedded in your body, I think. And that gets into a whole biblical thing, but.
Well, you know, and so why, you know, how do you not any which way you go down the road, like, okay, I won't carry my phone. Well, they're going to make sure you can't do a lot of the stuff you need to do to be able to, you know, if you don't have your phone on you. So they're going to force you into it, just like they do in China. If you don't have your phone in China, you can't go to the store. You can't go, you know, you can't go buy your, you know, your fake COVID laden bat from the wet market. Kind of stuff, like you have to show your stuff. So again, it's like Angelo says, you're looking at that parallel economy, and it gets back to what we talked about, a barter economy.
Yeah.
But watch how they try to shut that down. Oh, you can't do that. Again, if you Venmo $600, you're gonna get taxed on it. You want to bet that $600 doesn't come down to basically any transaction here in the next couple of years?
What's interesting about that too is I think they've got an in with PayPal and Venmo where they can actually go in and get your data and track what you've made. So it's not you reporting it necessarily, or maybe it is, and then they're double checking it with the data on you that they already have. That seems illegal as shit to me. But
Have that, and don't forget the agency has back doors into everything.
Yeah,
CIA can even get in the signal, right? Like. They have backdoors into everything. So if they want to, and all that information is brought to the NSA, you know, and then they have interfaces that puts it all up and it's all searchable and they can tie it. They data, they tag you in it, however they tag you, and they can interrelate everything that you have going on. If somebody wants to look you up and get your pattern of life and see everything you bought and everything you got going, they have the ability to do that.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Just wait too. Think it's bad now? Just wait. At any rate, I did want to move on a bit, but I got one thing I wanted, since we're on this whole where we're going and all of that stuff, I want to just talk about this real quick, just an off-topic type thing, and then I want to get into some of the economy stuff coming up this winter. But I saw this the other day, and I thought it was something from The Onion or Babylon Bee, right? Our pets are part of the, and this is from CNN, our pets are part of the climate problem. Here's some tips to help you minimize their carbon footprint. So they're basically saying, it's like the World Economic Forum saying, you can't have any pets anymore, or your pets eat too much meat. So, and that's what this article is basically saying. They're talking about there's insect-based pet food now that you can get. So get that for your pets. Make sure your dogs vegetarian, not veterinarians, vegetarians. Do all of those things to sort of minimize the footprint of your pets. And it's like, where does all this crap end, man? I mean, they just come after whatever. I mean, I get it, but when is, hey. I mean, I get the whole, you know, the whole climate thing, but how far is this going to go? And how far are they going to use
nothing,
the whole?
You will own nothing and like it, love it, whatever it is.
Yeah. We're going to have your robot dog. In 10 years.
Well, I mean, go back to the movie 1984, right? What does that dude do? Sits in the corner out of the way of the TV and has like his little thing. That's his. Like everything else is in view of the television. It's a table. Like you don't need any of that, those comforts.
Yeah.
What do you need that stuff for? That's a sign of one of those bad people.
Yeah. It's concerning to me too. And I guess I'm not really surprised because it's CNN. But it's concerning that these media outlets and a lot of people in general are, you know, so willing to accept this stuff. Oh, yes, my dog is this or that, or I need to start feeding my dog vegetarian dog food or something, or insects. That way I'm not contributing to the climate thing. And it's like, you know,
it's because they make. You know, part of their whole fantasy land that they have built is by virtue signaling. I mean, there are people that literally, I talked to a buddy and who works out in California, and he has a bunch of like individual clients with what he does. And some of them wear masks. And when he talks, I'm like, why are you still wearing a mask? They don't know that they're virtue signaling, but they're 100% virtue signaling. They're out there. Well, I have to do trained. It for you. I'm sacrificing for you. Like I wear this mask because it protects everybody around me, you know? And like, if it was airborne Ebola, and you know what, let's say they can make an argument that was what it was supposed to, that's the whole deal in 2020. Okay. Dude, we know it's endemic. You're not having a bunch of people die from fucking COVID. It's not happening, right? It's a really shitty cold at times. And a lot of people still don't even really know they have it. If you show signs and symptoms, some people have a really shitty time. And are there people who had long COVID that are having a bad time? Yeah, sure there are.
Yeah.
But they literally think that they're wearing it to protect you. And it's like they feel like they're doing their patriotic duty kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's a microscopic virus. If all of this stuff the last couple of years didn't show, there's no, you're not going to control it. Even China, as much as they've done, I haven't controlled it. It's not going to happen. So at any rate, I just thought that was another interesting thing as far as where we're headed in the future. And that's just going to get worse too. All of the carbon crap and all the restrictions and the taxes and all that stuff that they can do, regardless of what it is now. It's so convoluted right now. You don't know what the real issues are and what aren't, what scientists are paid off.
Well, you think
off,
about like clean
what publications
water stuff.
Are true or not.
They're all about, you know, let's look at the environment, about clean water. We'll just take that one. But dude, they won't even bust the money to get clean water, guaranteed clean water to their own citizens in the United States. How many times do we hear, and not because, you know, I get it when there's a hurricane, a flood or something like that. But how many times do we hear about boil orders now? And nothing's gone on. Just they haven't put the money in the infrastructure. They haven't upgraded stuff. Flint, Michigan. right? Where Obama went up there and did the fake drink,
yeah,
kind of thing. Like we can't, we won't even take care of the environmental people that say they're all about the environment won't even take care of the environment so their people can get clean water. Well, right. So do we think that they like, should we really think that they really, even though they use the environment and they all agree the environment's fucked up, we need to do stuff about it. But do they use that to actually try to fix the environment or to fuck with everybody, make money? You go out to Nevada and they got that big solar field out in the middle of Nevada. Dude, they're slaughtering birds.
Yeah.
Birds fly over that solar field, vaporized. Right? Like, do they take that into account? No, that's cool when they can do it. Like, it's not really going to harm anything. Sure. You know, they can all fly their private jets.
Yeah. That's why it's just a game. They don't give a crap about it, whether it's going on or not. They really don't give a crap about it unless 400 of them decide to take their private jets to a country and sit and talk about it and make sure that all of us down here are getting in line. That's all it is. So, yeah, interesting. All right, I did want to talk about this tonight, though. Saw this a couple weeks ago, actually, from Zero Hedge, another Zero Hedge article. But it goes through a couple things, and I've got another article that talks about blackouts and stuff. But this my whole thing with this is I want to talk about the coming up in the next few months as far as the economy and in the after show, we're going to be talking about winter preparedness. Forgot to mention that earlier. But also our heating bills and all that stuff later on. But this article right here talks about how in about 9 or 12 months, the bottom is going to fall out. And this talks about consumer credit card debt. And I think this is pretty interesting because you look during the pandemic, I don't know why during the pandemic, people's personal savings went up so much. Maybe it's because of all the stimulus and all that. But
well, there was nothing to do.
What's that?
There was nothing to do, right? So people weren't going off. You weren't going off spent. You weren't going to Disneyland. True. You weren't doing all this stuff, going to restaurants. So it was that was limited. And then I think you had people that weren't spending money. There was the rent moratoriums were in, right? The mortgage moratoriums were in. You didn't have to spend money on any of that. So I think people slogged a bunch of money away in the banks. And don't forget in 2020, we had the largest upward transition of wealth in human history. So when they do, hey, this is personal savings, is that like, are they including Tom Brady in that? Because yeah, all those probably. Guys, their personal savings went through the roof. Well, Tom Brady, he was really poor.
By the millions.
He had to get $3 million in PPP loans. Right. So, we put out trillions of dollars into society. So it would only make sense that savings would go up.
Yeah. And then after that, you see after the pandemic, and I think this is a symptom of people not working, people deciding not to work, and then just afterwards, just kind of throwing everything on the credit cards and doing all that stuff. And then you've got the economy going to in the tank on top of all of that. So it just kind of, eventually that red line right there, and that's why I'm so stingy on putting money on credit cards and stuff, because eventually that's got to get paid off. And the whole time it's not getting paid off, you're paying 20%, whatever your rate is, to basically you're paying 20% to owe money to those companies. So and that's the same thing with this damn country. All the debt that we have, so eventually all of that comes due and you're going to have to pay it off. And I think that's why we're in for a lot of people anyway, are in for a lot of hurt. I don't know what that means as far as the whole economy and all that. But
the other side of that too is those are people probably that have already spent through their money, or the people that I think you had a lot of people, right, that because they didn't have to make credit card payments and stuff, maybe they were able to get ahead of their credit card debt during the pandemic or during the COVID lockdowns, and then they now with the cost of everything and their income hasn't gone up or anything, yeah. Everything else has gone up in price. Dude, yeah. Like literally I've watched the price of eggs for 18 eggs go up from like $6 and change, $7 in the last 3 weeks. It went up to $7.49 or something. And then anyway, it's up over $8 now. Yeah. Right. So all where are people getting that extra money? I think a lot of people are putting on the credit cards they paid off. And my understanding is that the majority of savings accounts, they're saying, will probably be drained for like the average person. Middle class will be drained by June of 23.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. I do have a couple slides kind of on exactly what you were talking about, too, with the recession. And this was from, you know, a couple weeks ago when I had that the Harvard-Harris poll. But 84% of Americans say the U.S. is in a recession now, or we will be in one by next year. And you've seen a lot lately. I mean, you've got gas prices that are going down. I don't know exactly what goes into all of that, but the food prices aren't going down that I've seen. Now, granted, they're not going up like I thought they were going to continue to go up, but they're not going down. It's still outrageously expensive. The fuel, I don't know. I know it's people traveling less and, you know, blah, 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 whatever.
Well, I think that's what it is, right? It's supply.
Yeah.
The oil companies are making huge profits right now as well. So, you know, that there is that. And the prices are coming down, I believe, supply and demand. People are just not driving.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
Got your credit card.
And they're having to look like, you know, I mean, how many people, if they live near something, right? Like if you live in, you know, a decent sized town or whatever, like you would go to the store every couple of days. Right. I think people have done that. I wonder, you know, it'd be interesting to see what's happening with like DoorDash and companies like that, because like when I lived in Vegas, DoorDash was great, but like you're paying, you know, you pay some money to get that. DoorDash ain't free. Right. So you order a meal, you're throwing an extra $10 on that unless you subscribe to it. I wonder how much have like DoorDash services and stuff gone down.
Yeah.
Tanked, like people are just cutting back.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, out here, it takes a half an hour just to get to Home Depot or something. And I've always sort of planned my trips like that, unless I'm doing a project and I have to go. And then I usually have to go three times. But I've always planned my trips into town like that. I can hold off on this today and wait till I need a couple other things. And then I can go one trip. I think a lot of people are doing that type of thing. Thinking twice before they hop in the car to go get a Dairy Queen or something like that. They're thinking twice about that, going, I don't necessarily need to do that right now. Or maybe I can do that on my way home from work, or stop by the store on my way home from work and all that stuff. So
what's the answer, man? What do you do?
What do you mean? What do I do?
What should people do?
Oh, I it's really up to you. I mean, if your financial situation is cool and you're comfortable doing what you want to do, then albeit, but so be it. But I think, you know, for most people, I think it is that buying in bulk. It's all of those different things we can do to save a buck or two here or there. I've been purchasing a whole bunch of meat lately, for the last 6 months, actually. And it's actually, it hasn't, like I said, it hasn't gone up to the point where I thought it was going to, which is a good thing. It's a double good thing, because one, I've got a freezer full of meat, and two, I'm not one of those people with my maxed out credit card. So I think it's just your personal situation. I think it's just paying more attention to this stuff. And I think a lot of people are, because they have to, these days. This last chart here, talks about how people feel about their financial situation. And this is another one during the pandemic. You see all those lines converging there. During the pandemic, nobody really cared, because you were getting, you know, you stayed at home. You didn't have a whole lot you had to spend money on. You got your little stimulus checks and all that. So life was just kind of like it was. Then after the pandemic, everything opens up. The economy goes to crap. And that's when all of this stuff started happening, and it was worse. I don't know about you. I'll ask you. I felt worse, like this was going to be a worse situation at this point 6 months ago than it actually is right now. 6 months from now, I'm still not sure though. What are your thoughts on that? Is it about what you thought it was going to be? And do you think it's going to be summer when it all hits?
I thought it was going to get worse faster, but at the same time, I keep going back. Because they haven't changed anything, right? They're talking about doing some another big spending bill right now because they're back into talking about the continuing. Well, we need to do the continuing resolution and spend all this money in order to keep the government running, because, again, they do a continuing resolution instead of a budget now. Right. Because we haven't done a budget in forever. So I thought it would be worse. And then I keep seeing, you know, people that. No, I mean, actually know about finances, I guess. And they're still saying it's going to get worse.
That's so what I'm afraid
hopefully
of,
yeah. Not. But at the same time, they what part of our fiat currency system do you think isn't 100% manipulated?
No, none of it. That's what the Fed does.
Exactly. So here's my thing. We know they do like on interest rate or on inflation that they swap stuff out and everything. They're the ones that say, you know, this, what the value of stuff is. The world all kind of gets together. They all agree on it. It's like part of the, you know, we've agreed on the petrodollar and everything else. So, and by keeping it to wherever it is that benefits the rich and the elite, I think they have their finger on the scale, man. So I don't know. I maybe it is better. I think a lot of us have just cut back.
Yeah.
And aren't spending as much, you know. I mean, I think we're going to spend a lot during Christmas, but by and large, no one I know is out there like doing a bunch of like stuff where they're going crazy with their finances right now, going off and blowing a bunch of money or going on crazy vacations, spending a lot of money. I don't know anybody that's doing that right now. Yeah. You used to always hear like, oh, we're going there. Now it's like, you know, everything's kind of, people are sitting still.
Yeah, and that's partly, I think, to do with what the situation is now and, you know, coming out of the pandemic and all that, and then partly to do with that unsureness about where things are headed, because that's how I feel about this whole thing is you see signs of things getting better, but it's coming from, you know, the people that lie to you all the time anyway, so who knows what to believe. But at the same time, you know, you don't want to become complacent and then all of a sudden you get smacked in the side of the head with all this crap. So that's kind of where I am with this. We'll see.
Well, I would argue that now with we know that the digital dollar, everything we've been talking about in this show, it's coming down the road. I'd try to get as much as possible, get out of debt.
Yeah.
As soon as you can. Right. And start figuring out things that you can do to make money and to, you know, like, can you get eggs in your local community? Right. What can you trade for eggs? I mean, think about like, I don't know, look at a Little House on the Prairie, right? They didn't have lots of cash always coming in those people, right? There was a lot, I'll work for you, I'll do this, I'll do that. And they figured out, I think you're going to see a lot more families becoming tighter because they're, you know, we see this whole system, kind of the whole Hunger Games system setting up around us.
Yeah. 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 All right. So what I wanted to do, we haven't even touched on the Twitter thing, and I wanted to talk about that a little bit. But before we do that, I want to get your thoughts on this other subject that I wanted to cover today. And that was the whole Brittany Griner thing with this, you know, with the Russian terrorist dude. What is he? The Merchant of Death is what they call him. I wanted to get your thoughts on that, because the first thing I thought when I saw that was she checked all the boxes. She's gay, she's black, she's a woman. Of course, they're going to leave that Waylon dude behind. He's going to get her. And then you see all the spin out there afterwards saying, oh, he was never on the table. And I saw a CBS News article, which actually they had to correct, because the first version of it said that he was that it was on the table.
Well, I think it's because she was gay and she was woke, right?
Turn her back on the flag.
I think it was because, dude, if she was like a black Marine, if that Marine was black, she'd still come home first. They don't give a like. This was all about who she is. Because I hear John Kirby out there today, right? The National Security Council spokesman. You hear him. They keep saying that she did nothing wrong. Like, oh yeah, she did nothing wrong.
She did.
And like, dude, I'm totally for legalized pot, right? And
she's not in America.
She tried to bring, you know, THC vape stuff into an overseas country. Like, dude, there was a guy that when I, so I used to travel back and forth through Dubai all the time when I was going in and out of the, and so I'd always catch wind of like different people who got jammed up. There was a guy that was going through that had they, he had stepped on some seeds and he had like a seed on it in his shoe. And it turned out to be a weed seed. So I don't know where he came from. They got weed seed stuck in the bottom of his shoe, but they tested and they threw that guy in jail for a weed seed, right? There are countries out there that'll execute you for that shit.
Yeah.
And she broke a foreign country's law. So, you know, and my understanding with the Marine guy is that he was probably passing intel, right? That he was somehow working for intel. So they got a bigger hard on for this guy. But you don't give up your only bargaining chip that's worth a shit.
Yeah.
When you have like, hey, I'm sorry, Brittany Griner, you got to sit there a little bit longer till we can figure it out. Maybe you got some other Russians somewhere and you could package deal it, right? My understanding is that they wanted some Russian that Germany has. They want Germany to release it. And so that's part of where the hangup is on getting this former Marine guy out. But no, it's, you know, and I kind of like it when America goes to bat to get Americans home. Whether I like Brittany Griner or not, I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the same time, you gave up your bargaining chip to get this Marine out of prison.
Yeah,
you know, and so.
Yeah, and it's not to say I don't want to make it sound like I'm like, oh, they shouldn't have went and got her or whatever, because she's an American, all Americans. I don't care if she turned her back on the flag or not. That's what free speech. That's what freedom is all about. Being able to do that crap. And I wonder, I will laugh my ass off if she does it now. I don't think she has the same types of feelings about the United States as she did before. But at the same time, it's that whole woke type thing. And I know Trump had a chance to get this Whalen dude in the past. And I don't know enough about him to say whether it was done or should have been done or not. I know Trump decided not to. So you can't put all the blame on Biden for that, because Trump had the opportunity as well, if you're going to go that route. But
well, again, they have a hard on for Whalen, right? They want to lock this, have this dude locked up.
Yeah.
And you know, it's so, yeah. And is this, you know, it was interesting that the guy, this, what do they call him? The, you know, merchant of death. They interviewed him in Dubai. And the lady, and I caught a clip out of what they asked him in Dubai on his interview. And the guy was like, yeah, I feel sorry for the Americans. Not like, not Whalen kind of thing, but Americans. He goes, I was in prison with him. Like, I got to know these guys. And he goes, you know, their whole country is being ripped away from him. He talks about all the stuff we talk about, right? They're having their religion crushed. They're having their civil rights crushed. And he talked about all that. And he goes, I have a lot of empathy for these people. He goes, they're literally great country that was, and he said it, he goes, that was like the shining castle on the hill. He goes, it's not that anymore. And it's being ripped out from under him. So I'm sure, you know, he probably got his marching orders as well from the Kremlin. Hey, you need to start beating this up, because that's what they want to, you know, they're trying to sow division and stuff. But whatever he said, I was like, yeah, I agree with that guy. And did that guy funnel arms around the world? Sure he did. But isn't it interesting that we jump up and down, that guy can't give arms to these countries. And then we go around, dude, we armed fucking Al-Qaeda in Syria.
We've got the military. We armed Al-Qaeda. Complex. Yeah.
Right. And so we're going to go around and tell people, oh, you can't arm these people. Yeah, I get it. That's fine. And then isn't it great that we, you know, we're not really down with this. We got to get rid of the Second Amendment because we don't like gun deaths. And we're going to let the Merchant of Death out so you can go sell some more guns. So, no, it's a total hypocrisy bullshit on behalf of our government.
I tell you what, that dude ought to go to Afghanistan and pick up all the shit that we left there and sell that. Yeah. We've been the biggest merchant of death in the last 30, 40 years. The United States and the military industrial complex. So biggest arms dealer on the planet. So yeah, I agree with you there. All right. My internet's being a little bit wonky, but we're going to try to get through a little bit of this Twitter stuff. And I don't know how much we want to get into this, because honestly, it's like we've talked about it three shows in a row now, and it keeps kind of dripping out. But It's important stuff. And we were talking a little bit before the show, and you explained why you think it kind of is this way. And I think they ought to just, you know, dump it all out, but it's really not that feasible. And that's why it is this kind of slow moving process. Explain what you were saying before the show started.
Yeah. My understanding in reading a bunch of what Matt Taibbi is saying is all this data, it's not like this isn't a database that's easy to search and cross-reference, right? These are literally, you know, I mean, and you see how many emails we tweet. When I was doing the corporate security thing back in Virginia, there were some days as a director that I got 300 emails, right? So if you think of people getting 100 to 300 and they're really emailing back and forth there, you think of all these emails that are going around. So when they go through the emails looking for stuff, it's literally a grind to get through and start tying this stuff together. They're going looking for needles and haystacks and finding them and trying to put them together. So that's why it's so slow to come out. And I think you have Elon trying to drive traffic to Twitter. My hope is at some point, you know, he either releases all that stuff to WikiLeaks or he puts his own database up to where everybody can go in there and search it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And he might be using AI to try to get machine learning to be able to go through it and search it and tie things together. But I hope he's able to do that. So that way everybody get into it, where if you get a bunch of people like Matt Taibbi and Barry Weiss and them in there digging around in it, you're going to find out all kinds. I think a ton more stuff that's going to get tied together. So,
yeah,
I think that's why it's taken so slow. One, I think he's working it a little bit. It's what Elon does, but you know, there so far, I mean, it's proven everything we've been saying. And, you know, as much as I hate on Trump, a lot of what they've said has proven him right.
Yeah.
Again. And, you know we were getting shadow banned. It's funny because we talk about YouTube, like literally our subscribers are lower now than our very first month that we got on YouTube.
Yeah.
We're ridiculous. Talking about before the show.
It really is.
We're being suppressed 100%. Right. Yeah, you know, you see that's true. You see what they were making up, banning and shadow banning people on the fly. And they kind of show in there where it went from them trying to figure out how to do it so it was like all legit and within the rules of terms of service to them just being like, yeah, let's just start doing our thing. Like they just went for it.
Yeah. Because of their biases and all that. Yeah. Yeah. This last rollout was about how Trump was, terminated from Twitter or banned from Twitter. And honestly, and I don't want to make it sound like I don't think it matters at all, because I do think it's you take down a sitting president of the United States, that matters. But I think the other stuff that matters more to me is the government involvement with all of this stuff, the stuff that came out the first couple of batches. This one right here just kind of shows their internal workings, kind of everything we knew, except now it's that conspiracy reality, right? Everything that we thought, everything we've been saying, everything we've been telling, people have been telling us that we're batshit crazy and we're wrong. It's coming out to light. And the bigger, even bigger than that issue is that this is just Twitter. This is just one small piece of that whole big puzzle. They're all doing this stuff. So I think that's why it's so important to get all this stuff out. I want to know more about like the COVID stuff you were talking about earlier. I want to know more about that. I want to know about more about the FBI's involvement in all this stuff. I know Elon was saying something good. I forget exactly what he said about the FBI saying they weren't being nefarious or anything. They had good intentions, but there is a major left-wing bias. I don't really know that.
They don't have good intentions, because here's the problem with that shit. They don't have good intentions because they're out there putting out their personal opinion to people. Remember, it's not, you know, they could bitch about Trump and all they want and stuff. The problem is they would amplify Biden stuff, right? They would turn it up so it got shared more, right? You saw it more. So while they're turning one down, they're turning the other one up. So as soon as they started turning Biden up and the Democrats, that tells me like, okay, well, you're 100% biased. You can't. That doesn't work when you're trying to play those games, right? And so I think any involvement they had regular meetings with the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, right? On top of the FBI and on top, I'm at, and where does that go? CIA, the, you know, all the different, you know, intelligence agencies and stuff get that. Meeting with Homeland Security. Like, dude, like you need a liaison that says, hey, is this somebody breaking the law? And they say yes or no. Okay, no, fuck off. Then they keep going their stuff. Yeah. Right? They keep saying what they do. It was, they had an uneven bias towards this stuff. And that, and it was getting fed. A lot of it was getting fed to him by the FBI. I mean, Jim Baker was the agent that signed off on the dirty FISA memos. He knew what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like they knew what was going on. We know. And so one of the interesting things that's happening on Twitter now is, so for years, anytime you would say that they're suppressing the right, suppressing conservatives, suppressing centrists, even, right. You know, that they would say, oh, no, they're not. Right. That's what the left and all the virtue signaling woke fucks would say. Well, what they're trying to say is, yeah, but it doesn't, it's a nothing. It's not really a big deal. And it happened back then. And my response to them is, you know, and they're going off and they're trying to say now that there's more hate speech on there. First, I could totally see the left creating bots that go in there and drop the N-bomb all over Twitter.
Yeah.
So that way they say, look, there's more hate speech going on. Right. And so like they'll post these articles. And when you go and look at any of the articles, the majority of them don't even have any statistical data to back them up. And the ones that do are basically refer you to some site. When you go to the site, they just basically say, we found, they don't show any of the raw data to make sure they're not bots, anything like that. And Elon Musk is coming out with his chart saying, no, this is what it is. And what my response is you fucking dickheads lied to us about the Steele dossier, about Russiagate. You lied to us about masks. Where do we need to stop with the lies that you lied to us about, that they were shadow banning us? You lied to us about everything that's come out of your mouth. Again, this is that we talk about the T-shirt conspiracy versus truth. Like I would say wokeness equals conspiracies, because they're the ones that keep coming up with the conspiracies trying to say that we're wrong. Oh no. Right. So everything they have fucking said and every investigation they've done pretty much has been biased, partisan bullshit and lies. So yeah. I'm at the point where it's like, and I've been at it for a while, like most of us have, but like, and my response to him is, I don't fucking believe a word out of your mouth. Like, shut your face. I don't even want to hear you. Because everything you've said is a lie. Until you can come to and show us all the tweets, let us see the tweets.
Yeah.
So I can see that, you know, are you going to have your idiots out there? Yeah, you're going to have your idiots out there. You're going to have people that go say some stupid. You're going to have Kanye West yays going off there and saying, you know, hey, I think Hitler's a great guy kind of thing. I like Hitler. I don't think he's that bad. You're going to have people say that.
Off his rocker.
Right? Yeah, he's off his rocker. And you're going to have a bunch of people say some ignorant, stupid fucking shit. And at the same time, until you prove that it's bots, and I don't have a problem dealing with that, with people like that. But until you can prove it's not bots and it's not setups and it's not all your shit. I mean, the Hillary Clinton campaign literally was the one who created the Steele dossier and paid for it. So why would I not think that the left isn't doing bots to try to sabotage Elon? Yeah. So no, I don't believe a fucking word they say anymore. And you're going to hear that. Well, that's no big deal. Ah, man, they're going to start discounting it. No, it's a big deal, because even them discounting it is gaslighting you. And them discounting it is 100% bullshit.
Yeah.
They're trying not to deal with the issue. They won't address the substance of what's being said.
Yeah. And that's my big issue with all this. And I said this a few times, but most people don't use Twitter, but that's their information dissemination machine that they all use to go between reporters and political figures and all that stuff. That's where they get all that information put out. So if that's all controlled and by one side, and you know, not a fair place at all, then all of that information coming out is going to be from that one side. You're not even going to see the other stuff. And that's it's not a Twitter thing anymore. It's on the news. This person said this on Twitter. This person said that on Twitter. You see it all the damn time. You probably can't even watch a news show anymore without somebody quoting something somebody said on Twitter. Some sort of personality said on Twitter. That's my big thing with it, because that's where all of this information comes from. And if it's slanted and jaded like that, that it affects the whole population. This
internet just freeze.
Both of our internets right now are saying bad. That was a pretty good shot, though.
I know.
It's like you're flipping me off.
I know, that was crazy. But part of my understanding is, they hardly had any tools in there because there was kiddie porn being transferred on Twitter and a bunch of porn. They didn't have tools to deal with it. And when they came up with the tools, instead of using it for the porn, the kiddie porn, they used it to go after Trump and the conservatives, right? So my understanding is they don't have a lot of those tools and stuff built in. So they're really reprogramming Twitter from the ground up to be able to handle a bunch of this stuff and to be able to do a lot of this stuff. So hopefully it keeps improving and it keeps getting better. And my concern is, dude, with as much of a pain in the ass as Elon's being right now, I wouldn't get on a plane forever if I'm that guy. Driving in a car, I wouldn't get in a car. I would be in a complex and away from everything. Because, dude, that he's being a huge thorn in their side right now. Yeah, and the minute they try to push the digital dollar stuff, that guy knows more about digital dollars and Bitcoin and all that. He's going to start screaming his bloody ears head off.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, well, we're going to get out of here tonight before my internet blows up on us. We made it through the whole show, and I don't want to push it. I do want to talk, maybe on Wednesday we'll go into this a little bit more. I want to talk about Neuralink and all that stuff because they are sort of going after him now with a lot of different things. So that'll be pretty interesting. But with that, I think we are going to end the show. I appreciate it. Everyone in the chat tonight, a lot of you in there, a lot of people over on Rumble as well, just like every day for the last couple of weeks, which is fantastic. I love seeing what Rumble's doing over there, and it's becoming, it's growing way faster than YouTube is. I'll put it that way. So it's fantastic. I appreciate you all over there. Everybody listening to the podcast and all that, we appreciate you guys listening. You leave us a review, like, comment, share, all that stuff that helps us out. If you can go to the SHTF shop, if you're looking at getting a t-shirt or something like that, I've got that. I've got coffee cups over there, Legacy Long-Term Food Storage and all that stuff. Help support the show. It would be fantastic as well. But do you have anything else to add before we get out of here tonight, Brian?
No, man. I hope everybody has a good week. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Yeah. And we are going to be doing the after show right after this as well, talking about some winter preparedness stuff. So if you got the email from the Bug Out location, join us for that. If you're not a member of the Bug Out location, you can go to thebugoutlocation.com, become a member, and we do those after show videos over there. But with that, everyone, take care and prepare. We'll talk to y'all later.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Survival Preppers. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. And don't forget to join us on YouTube for our weekly live shows. For more information or to connect with Duff and Dale, visit thesurvivalpreppers.com or thebugoutlocation.com for members-only content and prepping courses. See everyone next time.